my observation is that it's usually never about qualification, because they have, okay, like, once you finish your degree here, you have a German degree, which is, well, it's the same everywhere. It doesn't matter, or it doesn't depend on nationality. But the biggest obstacle most certainly is the language issue.
Yeah.
So because we have so many English taught degree programs, of course, mm-hmm. a lot of internationals come here because they do not have to learn German. But then again, once they finish university, they get the experience that German is like a big, to speak German is a big requirement. So, and this is like a big advantage. And of course, it's a difficult language and so on. But it's just, I think it's just very natural and common sense, because the only official language we have in Germany is German.
Hello, welcome to today's podcast of Study Abroad Extended Version. I'm your host, Jacob Tong. And today, our guest is Stephanie, who's currently working at the Career Center of University of Erlangen-Nürnberg. Hello, Stephanie.
Hi.
How are you?
Thanks for having me. I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
Yeah. Thank you so much for being on my podcast. Maybe a little bit about yourself.
Yes, as you've said, my name is Stephanie Rösch, and I work not only for the Career Center, but also for the Student Advice Center. So it's a double function, more or less. So I have been working for the Career Center for almost 9 years, and for the Student Advice Center for about like 2.5, probably. And I studied at the University of Heidelberg, English and American and Spanish literature, and then worked at the university in Heidelberg for about, I don't know, like 5 years in the international office, advising international students on how to study in Germany, and then moved to Erlangen to work for Siemens for a bit, and then came actually back to the university, and now I'm here.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know you worked for Siemens and then went back to international education again. Okay.
Yeah.
How was it? I like university life. Okay, so you like to work with students.
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
Keeps you young.
Good. Okay. So let's start with the lightning round question, like my other episode. My first question is, how many English programs are there at the University of Erlangen-Nürnberg?
I actually have quite a bit. So right at the moment, there are always new ones popping up, which, of course, takes a bit of time. But right at the moment, we have 37 merely English taught programs.
Okay, that's a lot.
So, and 33 are master programs. Mm-hmm. And there are a few more, I think two more English taught bachelor programs coming up.
Okay. So my second question is, how much does it cost for international students to study at the University of Erlangen-Nürnberg?
That's probably the surprising and happy news. University education in Germany is free. So it's covered totally by the state, by the German state. So there are no tuition fees at all. So, of course, there are exceptions. If you want to do a special master course or something, there could be or there can be fees. But in general, education in Germany is free. So you have to pay a semester fee of currently 67 euros per semester, which is
okay.
That's basically all.
Okay, sounds good. And
it comes at a price, it's very cheap.
Yeah, it is. My next question is, what are the general requirements to study at the University of Erlangen-Nürnberg for international students? Is there like a general requirements that people can just, you know, like people can know right away if they have a chance to study here? Yeah.
It depends on what you want to do. Talking about bachelor courses, so that's a bit more complicated, especially if you come from the US or, well, let's say North American because with a high school degree, you cannot enter university in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to fulfill special requirements. So you have to do some, what's it called? AP courses.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. you definitely have to check online. So there are databases available online.
Yeah.
The DAAD, the German yes. Academic Exchange Service, provides information as mm-hmm. well as, the ANABIN database, and you really have to check what the requirements are. So with a high school degree only, you cannot be admitted to a German university.
Okay.
So you would either have to go to the Studienkolleg mm-hmm. to do the Feststellungsprüfung. I don't really know what it's called right now in mm-hmm. In English. I could check university qualification exam. That
yeah.
is, it's like a preparatory course that you have to do in order to be admitted to a German university. But with a high school degree only, you cannot like enter university. Then master courses are different. You simply need a bachelor degree mm-hmm. and fulfill the qualification requirements, which is usually, we say, a bachelor degree with the same... more or less the same contents of the master course with a grade, mm-hmm. German grades of a minimum of 2.5.
I see.
There could be different requirements as well. But if you want to do a master course, you need to have, of course, a bachelor degree within a relevant field and like
yeah.
kind of good final grade.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's it for the lightning round. So three questions, very basic. But I think if I were an applicant, that would be for me very important information to ask. I was just wondering, are there international students from North America at all, or where the international students usually come from at the University of Erlangen-Nürnberg?
I think the biggest group we have here comes or is from India.
Mm-hmm.
Pakistan, Bangladesh, and then the second biggest group is most probably, I would say, China.
Yeah. And are there, do you know any students from North America or from at all?
Well, I have mm-hmm. actually met,
yeah.
As far as I can remember, I remember two.
Mm-hmm.
So are there, I would say there, I don't have the specific, calculations or numbers. I cannot really tell. I'm sure mm-hmm. that I know that there are like Americans around or from North America, but I would say that there are actually quite well integrated,
mm-hmm.
I think. So mm-hmm. I hardly have any of them in my counseling sessions.
Okay.
Only like once in a while, probably
okay.
because they find a way like around quite well. So that's basically all I can tell. And they're probably at the Faculty of Economics, most probably
okay.
could be the case. So, and not that much at the Faculty of Sciences where I am actually based. So this is like my
okay.
faculty that I do the student advice for. Otherwise, I'm like career service-wise or career center-wise, I'm like taking care of all students. But mm-hmm. it's probably, it could be the case that they're more at the Faculty of Economics.
Okay. So maybe a little bit more about Faculty of Science. Are students in this faculty mostly studying like STEM subjects, I guess? Or?
International? I
yeah.
guess you mean? It's mostly the data science course. So
okay.
this is like the bestseller, so to say. So
okay.
data science, computer science, artificial intelligence, informatics,
mm-hmm.
like
mm-hmm.
anything that's got to do with the whole AI subject. And of course, engineering, that as well, but that's the Faculty of Engineering again.
Yeah.
But these are, I would say, the bestsellers. And then comes like when we... talking about the Faculty of Sciences, it's probably physics, chemistry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
traditional science courses.
Yeah. I was just wondering, why, for example, like German students, they, when they go study abroad, like they tend not to, I mean, they do study abroad, but like they don't get a college degree abroad. Like imagining being a Chinese student or an Indian student, like living their life and then going abroad to get an education. And it's not only for educational, for a lot of them, they actually try to find a job after or like start a new life through their education. And I think, I was just thinking, it's like, because you've been with so many students, like, do you see any, how do you, like, when you talk to those students from India and China or mm-hmm. other international students, like, how are they kind of different from the German students, for example? Like, do you have, like, how they think about their education in general? Do you have any thoughts on that? Yeah,
so I see a big cultural difference. So I think mm-hmm. this is like a key thing. So in Germany, basically, you can do anything you want. So that's like you're totally free.
Yeah.
Of course, there are like boundaries in different senses, but in general, if you go to or as soon as you enter university, it's your responsibility. It's your responsibility if you want to take courses, if you want to show up at lectures or not. So no one forces you to do anything. So you are totally self-reliant.
Mm-hmm.
So it's your responsibility. And of course, you have the education is free. That's like a big magnet for internationals. Mm-hmm. And I would say that Germans, why they usually do not go abroad to earn a degree abroad, because of course it costs a lot. Like, why would you probably do that? Of course, there are a lot of them who actually go abroad. So, but that's like not the ones I'm talking to usually. So because I'm talking to the ones who are still here.
Yeah, but they're not that many, I guess. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, but I see like a lot from India, students from India and China. They mm-hmm. say that they like are looking for a better education or for mm-hmm. like education that is actually free and that gives them a lot of freedom and a lot of future perspective. Mm-hmm. And it's still like German universities, university degrees, they were considered like. Like quite high, I would say. So, especially in the engineering field.
Yeah.
So they have a good reputation. That's what I want to say, actually.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. and that's why people come here, I think. It's the financial situation that you do not have to mm-hmm. pay for your education. But then again, that's the downside a bit for internationals, I think. What makes it difficult to study in Germany at times, that it is actually your responsibility. So there is no one like taking care of you or serving you anything on a silver plate. So you have to make an effort and actually get your information and go to your classes and do this and that. So because you do not pay for it. So, and it is like, intrinsic to the university education in Germany that you are responsible for your own things. So you have to take care mm-hmm. and you have to put it down in your calendar or whatever it is. So the university actually says or thinks you're a grown up, you want a university education, so make an effort.
Okay, so I think it's very different from many other universities,
either
in the UK or in the US, where it's more like a service, because you pay a lot, you expect mm-hmm. a lot from them, or more structured. But in Germany, it's more like a public service.
Yeah.
And it is the materials there, the resources are there, but you have to go and take it. And
So it's like I think the thinking is that this is the highest educational system that we have, or the highest educational institution. Mm-hmm. So if you want to study at a university in Germany, like you have to do the work yourself. So no one's going to do it for you. Of course, there are always people here to help and give you tips and advice. And we have a lot of service institutions or counseling institutions. That's not the point.
Yeah.
But like people here expect students to be independent and think for themselves, because that's what makes university education like, that's the thing, what you have to learn. So yeah. I studied in Northern Ireland for a year, and I was totally surprised by the system, because I thought, am I still at school? Like, you don't have to tell me what I have to read, like from page 15 to page 48 or something like that. And I was like, what is this? I can decide myself what I want to read at what time until when. So the only thing is actually that I have to pass the exam. So that's like the German system, though it's been changing since Bologna, since the reformation of the whole university system.
Okay.
And the change to bachelor and master courses. So it feels a bit more schoolish.
Okay.
But still, it is your responsibility. So.
Yeah. I think because I studied in Germany for also doing my bachelor degree, I studied at the University of Heidelberg, and that's how I realized the system is really different when just the structure itself, how the seminar is constructed and how much time the professors have for you and how the assignments are assigned. It's very different from the ones in the States, because there you have more structure, more help from everybody pretty much. But here you're, like you said, you're independent, and a lot of students work on, like, while they're studying, and that's not very common, for example, in the United States.
You focus in other countries, sorry for interrupting, you focus on your studies, and in Germany it's totally common for most students to work besides going to university. So they usually work up to, you're allowed to work 20 hours a week. So that's the maximum.
For international students.
Yeah, for international students. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's it, actually. Otherwise, you wouldn't be a full-time student or considered to be a full-time student anymore. So that's the thing.
Yeah.
But it's totally common and normal and actually expected from companies that students gain some kind of professional experience while going to university. So they work as student assistants at the university, or as working students at companies, or they do internships or what else. So it's totally common to actually work while still being a student. Yeah.
Yeah. So since we're talking about working, and you're also working for, like, not 100%, like, you're also working for the career office. So how is it like for international students after their college degree at University of Erlangen-Nürnberg? Do they, like, are there challenges, or what's your experience so far with international students?
That also depends where they're from, I would say. So the biggest my observation is that it's usually never about qualification, because they have, like, once you finish the degree here, you have a German degree, which is, well, it's the same everywhere. It doesn't matter, or it doesn't depend on nationality, but the biggest obstacle most certainly is the language issue.
Yeah.
So because we have so many English taught degree programs, of course, a lot of internationals come here because they do not have to learn German. But then again, once they finish university, they get the experience that German is like a big, to speak German is a big requirement. So, and this is like a big advantage. And of course, it's a difficult language and so on. But I think it's just very natural and common sense, because the only official language we have in Germany is German. So, and even if a company claims to have English as business language, of course you have to talk to, like, I don't know. And if it's the facility management or the postman or, I don't know, or customers, and stuff like that. And it makes things so much easier, actually, because not everyone in Germany speaks English on, like, a decent level. So it's such a big advantage, and it's such a plus, and you can apply to so many more jobs if you speak German on a decent level, which means like B2 probably. So no one expects internationals to speak German on a native or like on a very good professional level. So it's just that you know the basics, that you can have a conversation, pick up the phone, write an email. So anything else comes is just learning by doing. But you somehow should have a basic knowledge of German, which would make things so much easier. Otherwise, you're simply restricted to the purely English or to the jobs that are in English only. And then, of course, there's a lot of competition.
Yeah, for sure. I think I lived through this, and for me, it was like what you said, exactly what you said. It was so much easier to get a job since I speak pretty good German, and my master's program was also in German.
Yeah.
And I was so I'm currently working for the German Federal Statistical Office, but while like a year ago I got a call from a hiring manager from in Düsseldorf, and he was asking, "Are you looking for jobs? Because we saw your resume and apparently you speak really good German and you're in the field of data science." And it's like, we're looking for people who are speaking German and working in this field.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh, thanks. I'm pretty happy with my job right now." So he was telling me, just chatting with me, it's like, there are a lot of applicants in data science field or engineering, AI, whatever. But the thing is, if you don't speak German, it is not that easy to work for a German company. And that's actually a huge advantage for me, because I was speaking to him saying, "Oh, he speaks so good German." I mean, I don't like the compliment because I get it a lot and kind of frustrates me, because I think it's, you know, because I'm, you know, kind of integrating into the German society. I want to be seen more like, you know, one of them or one of you. And then, but at the moment I was like, "Oh, thanks. You know, it's not only a plus, but it's it opens so many more doors, I think, for me." So I can only confirm what you said was absolutely right. Language,
yeah, it's not. Is, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think it's not just about the job itself, but companies, they are aware that if people are unhappy in their private lives, they cannot really work efficiently. So once internationals get out of their peer groups, their other their flatmates that probably come from the same country and so on. So they have to move somewhere else and maybe like build up a new life and new friendships and stuff like that. And if you do not really speak German, and you have to move somewhere else, and you have to make new friends and like integrate yourself, then it's often the case that people get homesick. So and that they probably get ill or sick, or and that they cannot really work anymore or be not efficient, and then eventually they go back to their home countries. And companies actually know that it's difficult, like to integrate yourself into a soccer team where people do not really speak English.
Yeah, so that is
or
true.
Whatever, like join a theater group or something like that. So or play in an orchestra. That's like a whole different story as well, and it's not just concentrated or limited to the professional world, because of course companies know by now that it's important that people are happy in their private lives as well, to actually be efficient in their jobs.
Okay, so how is it like for students who don't speak German and then come to Germany? Are they like at the University of Erlangen Nürnberg, are they having a difficult time for their social life? Do you talk to them about this? Are they making enough friends, integrated with German groups, or are they homesick all the time? How is it like?
Some of them are homesick, I would say.
Yeah.
Winters, it can be cold and it can be dull, and it can that takes a toll on a lot of them. And most of them, I would say, they stick to themselves often. So like they form groups and they like to stick to themselves. The funny thing is that a lot of internationals say, well, the Germans, they don't really talk to me. And then I have a lot of Germans that say, well, the internationals, they do not really, I have the feeling that they don't really want to interact.
Mm-hmm.
So it is like, and often I'm like, how can that be? So they're two sides of the same coin, and both sides actually want the same thing, but sometimes it doesn't really work out that well. But that's just like a few examples. Of course, you cannot really say that this holds true for a lot of them. So at most German or most probably at every German university, with our university as well, we have like buddy programs, integration programs and stuff like that. So simply to bring together internationals and German and to help like integrating or integration. So there's a lot of things happening and a lot of things that you can do.
Yeah. I actually worked for, when I studied at University of Bonn, I worked for the buddy program. I was one of the coordinator.
Yeah.
It was,
so was I, in Heidelberg. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think, I also visited a lot of universities in the Netherlands. And I think the thing I really like, the difference is that, like, in Germany, you have still a lot of German students. I would say, like, the priority, like that most students are German students, but in the Netherlands it's like 50-50. So that creates a different dynamic. I don't know if you've been to Holland, the Netherlands. It's very different. And the international students are not only from India and China, but a lot of German students as well. A lot of Germans, a lot of like from everywhere. And that creates a different dynamic than in Germany. And but at the same time, it's also similar because you have, you know, groups, the Dutch, they don't hang out with internationals. Since internationals is so big and multicultural, it's kind of creating this own bubble, this huge bubble of communities, like groups of students. And it's, I wanted just to throw it out there. I just thought about it.
Yeah. But I think isn't it like that the Netherlands, that they want to go back from their purely English taught programs, or that they want to reduce it, and that they want to reduce the number of lectures held entirely in English?
Yes,
I read something. Yeah,
yes, because they also have a conservative government right now, so it makes more sense, right? But how is it like when it comes to politics? How is it like in Germany? Because I talked to a lot of my colleagues or friends from University of Bonn or Cologne, and they were saying actually Germany is the other way around. They're trying to push it, like push more to offer more English programs and attract more international students. Is it like that?
I think so. Actually, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say so. But then again, in comparison to the Netherlands, that's like a super tiny country compared to the rest. And I think it's more international anyways.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Netherlands.
Yeah.
I have the feeling. And the language barrier is kind of different. The language barrier is not that super high, I would say. So you can basically go anywhere, like in Sweden, and simply talk to people in English. So that's different in Germany. Yeah, so I have a feeling that German universities are pushing the internationalization like quite hard right at the moment, and establishing a lot of new or purely English taught master courses, especially. So there are not that many bachelor programs in English or purely in English, because the university qualification or university entrance qualification is so different, because the school systems are so different, and it's difficult to assess the university entrance qualification. So that's why there are not that that many English taught bachelor programs at the moment. Yeah.
But why, I've been researching on different universities in Germany. Mm-hmm. Why does University of Erlangen-Nürnberg have, I think, six or at least couple English bachelor programs? Is there a reason for that?
Yeah, it's four at the moment. So with four? A few more, with at least two more coming up. You mean because the number is so small, or because
because you have English programs. Because for example, University of Bonn, there's none. There is one, which is English American Study, is in English for bachelor study, but it doesn't count for me, right? But you have, I think, if I'm not mistaken, like data science or computer science.
It's more the economics programs.
Yeah,
I think it's actually, if not all, at least two or three. And at the Faculty of Engineering, there should be two more coming up, English taught bachelor programs. Why? All in all, it's a big university. So for German standards. So in Bavaria, the only university that's bigger is the LMU in Munich, Ludwig Maximilians Universität, and Erlangen has about, we're like a tiny bit below 40,000. So, which is actually like considerably big.
Yeah.
So, and you can study everything more or less besides veterinary studies. But apart from this, in German, you would say eine Volluniversität. So like we have the full spectrum.
Yeah.
So that could be the case because the university is simply so big and because we offer so many courses in every field that we have like so many faculties, that this is probably, how can I put that? Like simply common sense or the natural way to open up.
Yeah. Okay.
Bachelor courses in English.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Okay. So, one last question for today. How do you like live in Erlangen, or how do you like the campus? Because you know you've been to Ireland, University of Heidelberg, which is a beautiful university and beautiful town. How do you like Erlangen so far?
Yeah. Good. I've been here for, I don't even know, like more than, well, probably 12 years by now.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's super nice. I think the quality of living is extremely high. It is a small town, or at least it feels like a small town. Erlangen has about 100,000 inhabitants. But it doesn't feel like that, I would say, because the center is like kind of small.
Yeah.
And the university, you might know, or you certainly know that in Germany we hardly have like campus universities.
Yeah.
So it's spread all over the city. It's spread to different parts of the city. All faculties, except for the Faculty of Economics in Erlangen. So the economics students, they are located in Nuremberg.
Okay.
Which is like a far bigger city. It's like the second biggest city in Bavaria, with like 500,000 inhabitants. And this is like three cities and towns like grown together. So it's Nuremberg, then comes Fürth, which is right next to Nuremberg, and in between Nuremberg and Erlangen. So it's like a melting pot is probably not the right word, but it's grown together.
Yeah.
So it's one thing.
Yeah.
So and it's not really a campus university, but it's like super, which makes it super easily accessible. So most students, they use their bicycles, and you can ride around with your bike, and you have beautiful nature. You have the Franconian Alps just out of your in front of your door.
Yeah.
And it makes it super, super like chilly to live here and to work here.
So you're enjoying living in Erlangen.
I do, yeah. I do. You have everything. Like, you have the big university clinic, you have the university, you have different universities of applied sciences, mainly in Nuremberg. So there's a huge educational environment around here. And you have everything you need. You have, like, a lot of big companies like Adidas.
Yeah.
Siemens, of course.
I really want to check out a university and...
Let me know.
Sounds great. Yeah, I'll let you know. Yeah, so thank you so much for today's episode, Stephanie. That was very
You're
interesting
welcome.
Talk with you.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, bis zum next. See you in
bis bald.
Bis bald.
Genau.
Okay.
Danke dir. Yeah,
tschüss. So that's it for today's episode. Thank you so much for listening to my podcast. If you want to learn more about this, please stay tuned with Study Abroad, the extended version. So for the people who don't know, I'm currently planning to become an independent college counselor to help students worldwide to get an affordable degree, college degree here in Europe, especially in Germany and in the Netherlands. If you want to learn more about this, please check out my website, www.studyeuexpert.com. And just write me an email anytime if you need my help. You never know. So that's it for today. Again, thank you so much and see you guys next time.